Well, we are making another try, and this one's going to work. So the old enemy has been after us, and Sunday I was so disappointed, discouraged. I was really upset. Then I tried to bring a message on stress and faith and being upset, and that didn't work either. So I was stressed and really upset. And so I'm having to try to live the stuff I've been trying to bring to you. So here we go again. But this time, it's after Easter. And, you know, we have the big Easter thing, and which I didn't get to do. And yet, on my heart this week is, well, what now? Okay, we have the big Easter blow, and I mean, it's a big thing. I mean, and we celebrate it and talk about all that happened to Jesus, and it all did. Everything you read is so real and so true. But then we turn around and say, okay, this is a drop-off. You know, here we go. It's back to the same old. And I just want to take some things and maybe use some symbolism. And some would say, well, are you spiritualizing? Yeah, I do that a lot. And I don't apologize for it. I try to draw things from Scripture, the depth of it, and things that means more than just what we're seeing at the present. And let me share the passages I want to use, and then we're going to go back and where we're going to move forward. We're going to come out of John 10, and we're going to go to what happened a little bit at the cross and the tomb, and then, well, we'll get to it. And let me read this to you, because what do we do now? Now that he's risen, where do we go? What's next? And that's where we get hung up. It's like, what? Okay, we celebrated. So here's what he says in John 10. This is before all this stuff happened to him. He said in John 10, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. And some of your translations said, I've come to give you life and give it in abundance. And that's actually where Full Life got its name. It's right there. I've come to give you life and give it to the full. And that's how the New International Version. And I want to read a couple of other passages further on in John chapter 10. Beginning at verse 27, he said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And what do I give them? They can't buy it. They can't purchase it. They can't earn it. You can't have enough good works. Can't give enough money. Can't do anything. He said, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And then we need that hope. We need that hope. And it's right there. I give you eternal life, you'll never perish. And listen to this. No one can snatch them out of my hand. So when you ask Jesus Christ in your heart, you really truly do, and you put your faith in him as your Savior and your Lord, your risen Savior and Lord, you confess or repent of your sins, and you ask him into your heart, nobody, not even you, that he says no one, including yourself, can take him out. You might fall out of fellowship and do some weird things, but he says nobody can take you out of my hand. And then he goes on to emphasize this and says, and my Father who is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. He said, because I am the Father one. So if can't get you out of my hand, you sure can't get them out of my Father's hand, because we're one. Now I want to take that then and move from there and give you some highlights and notes. And let's move forward and go to the cross and then get to talk about last Sunday, and I won't try to go through the whole Easter experience, but what I want to talk to you about this, there's two things that need to stay empty. And one is the cross, and the other is the tomb. And you're probably thinking, okay, but the Son of God, Jesus Christ, he's been taken off the cross. And he's the only one who could be there in the first place that was qualified, because he's perfect. He's qualified to die for our sins and take our judgment. And take our condemnation and deliver us from hell itself. And he's paid the price, and they took him off the cross. The cross is empty. Is it? And that's what God began to work on my heart, saying, is it empty? Because where we want to go with this is, there's no one else that should be on that cross. And where this kind of brings the insight is, golly, I know a lot of people who are on a cross. And Jesus, the only one that was supposed to be there. And they took it, he's gone from that cross. But there's a whole bunch of people on a cross. And if we kind of frame it in the line of, well, it's my cross to bear, or this is my burden in life, or this is my sickness, my illness, my disease. Is it really? Only one was meant to be there. What cross are you bearing? We're to bear his cross with him. We're to submit to him and deny ourselves and take up the cross daily and follow him. Yes, but we're not to be crucified on a cross. And it seems there's a lot of people on crosses, and they have trouble believing that there's truly forgiveness for their sins. They feel like they've done something that, God can forgive me, Jesus can forgive me for this and this and this, but not this sin. And he says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, whoever, everybody, every sinner, it doesn't make any difference what you've done, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but what? Have eternal life. And Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to judge it. I came to want it. Set you free. You can read that. I'm paraphrasing. But I didn't come to judge you. I came to save you, to set you free. And Jesus didn't come to judge. Quit judging yourself and quit letting other people judge you. So people keep being flogged and tortured in their minds. Don't you see? How many people are flogging themselves and crucifying themselves in their minds over something they've done? And there's only one that had to do that. And they put a crown of thorns on his head. And he paid the price. But some of you are wearing a crown of thorns. And you're hurting. And God just put it on my heart to say, come down off that cross. You're up there, maybe because of guilt, a sense of condemnation. And Romans 8 says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. False guilt. Accusations. So don't put yourself there. And if you have put yourself up there, friends, turn it over to him and say, God, help me off this cross. And he'll be more than glad to do it, because he'll be saying to you, well, there was only one meant to be there in the first place, and you're not it. And so quit torturing yourself. But now let me say this. It's not only you and I putting ourselves on the cross sometimes and becoming maybe martyrs, but you know the worst, probably one of the worst experiences you can have is when someone else puts you on the cross. When someone else begins to condemn you, judge you, they begin to crucify you, they won't let go of your past or your present, they won't turn loose of your faults, and they try to put you right back on the cross. And Jesus is saying, look at these hands, look at my feet, I've paid that price. And so you say, well, what am I supposed to do about this? Let me tell you something. I just want to give you a piece of practical advice, but you can find it in Scripture. You know what it says? God tells us not to judge one another, or we'll be judged. And don't condemn, or we'll be condemned. Forgive, and we'll be forgiven. So if you want to come down off the cross a little quicker, stop trying to live up to other people's standards. Don't measure your life by what somebody else thinks of you, wants you to be, wants you to do. The only measurement, the only measuring stick we ever, ever should have is what God wants us to be and what he says for us to do in his word. You're not perfect. And I want you to realize it. Don't try to measure up to other people. Don't live according to other people's standards. And then you say, what else can I do? Listen to God's word. Listen to what God says, not what people say. One of the things I've had to learn as a pastor over a lot of long years is people come from all different kinds of backgrounds and denominations. And they can walk into a church and you want to love them all, but sometimes they bring in stuff that they've been taught that's man-made. And they want this church to be like they want it. And I have to tell you, the church is the body of Christ. The church is right here. It's not a building. It's in your heart. It's who? It's you. Because Jesus Christ is in you, your hope and glory. And we can only be what God tells us to be, not what somebody else wants us to be. So let me say that. Stop trying to live up to other people's standards. We're not here to do what other people want us to do. We're here to do what God says in his word. Listen to his word. And I want you to grab this, okay? And I try to live this, and I try to preach it and teach it. And so because I do, I want you to get this, and it'll help you come off that cross and stay off of it. And it'll keep you out of tombs also, which we'll get to in just a moment. You're not perfect. And you're never going to be perfect on this earth. There's no perfect person on this earth. There was one perfect person, and they killed him for being perfect. So somebody's saying, you know, I'd love you more, like you more, be a better friend to you if you were just better and more perfect. They killed one because he was perfect. So even being perfect doesn't help you. And the God tells us over and over, you're not perfect. We're to strive for it. Perfect, by the way, he says, be perfect as I'm perfect. When you read that over in Matthew, what he was saying is be whole, mature, complete in me. Be spiritually mature. Perfect without making a mistake or committing a sin. Right. And so you can come down off the cross if you can say to yourself and really get this, I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. And I won't be perfect as long as I'm in this body on this earth. But I want to tell you something else. And neither are your critics perfect. And when someone is criticizing and rebuking and trying to put you on the cross, if you will, just grab this and take it to heart. And you can say to yourself, might not want to say it to them, but you can say it to yourself, I'm not perfect and neither are you. So who are you to tell me how to live my life, right? I'm not saying this to be tacky, but I mean, really, truly, they're being tacky by criticizing and trying to put you on the cross in the first place. And the same people that put Jesus on the cross, same ones put you on the cross. Very religious people. They're going to hang on to their doctrine and they're going to keep the law, you know, for you when they can't live it themselves. Hey, by the way, you ever notice that the people who put other people on crosses are some of the worst violators of Scripture themselves? And what they're doing is blaming somebody else so they don't have to look and listen to their own guilt. And so you keep that in mind. This will set you free. Jesus said, you know what? He said, you know, I've come, if you abide in my word, you'll know the truth, and truth will set you free. This is truth. And Jesus comes to set you free. That's why the whole cross experience took place. Free from sin, free from the fear of death, and free from garbage. And it's just garbage. You know, everybody has their garbage, and they want to dump it in somebody else's yard. Don't accept it. Refuse to receive it. And so, you know, you're not perfect. You never will be, and neither are your critics. And Jesus is in the business of perfecting you. And he'll keep perfecting you until he comes for you. And until that time, why don't you relax and accept yourself and say, God, here's my faults. Here's my mess ups. Here's my shortcomings. I'm not proud of them. And I ask you to help me through them. And in the meantime, though, God, thank you for loving me in spite of myself. Because he does. And God, would you put in my heart to love those who don't love me very much because I'm not perfect. You know, because right now I don't like them. And that's okay. You don't have to like everybody. We have to love them, but we don't have to go pal around with them. So, you know, tell them to get over it. Say, is that your opinion? Yeah, that's me. That was me talking. If I had a soapbox, I'd get on it and say, oh, go ahead and just get over it. Come off your cross. There's only one that's supposed to be there. He's gone. So let's talk about the tomb for a minute, okay? That's something else. The cross needs to stay empty. And so does the tomb. Yeah, I mean, tombs, my goodness. Tombs are dark, dreary places. They're for the dead, not the living. And Jesus is in that tomb. He didn't stay there. Not very long. Very short time. Man, it was a short, just, if you know what, span three, you know, three-day thing, crucifixion to the stone rolling away, and he's out of there. And gosh, God began to speak to my heart about this. It was like, yeah, look how many people are in tombs. And you say, oh, you mean that we go from a cross to a tomb? Yeah, I mean, those are supposed to be empty places. But there's a whole bunch of people in tombs. You say, well, what are you talking about? You ever been depressed? One of the worst, darkest, deepest tombs cut out of the rock is depression. When you feel like that there's no hope in the world, you're all alone. Nobody cares. That's what depression is. You feel like there's no hope. That's a tomb. And all of us get depressed at times. The key is don't stay depressed. You don't have to stay there. And it puts us deep, dark tombs, hard places. And not only that, and it's not just depression, but discouragement and despair, that sense of helplessness, hopelessness. And not only does it put us in a tomb, but we feel like a stone's been rolled over. And the longer that stone stays there and we're in that tomb of despair, depression, discouragement, beat up, broken up, the harder it is to come out. It's just hard to roll away stones on tombs of depression and discouragement and loneliness. And all of you hearing this, if you're lonely, if you're discouraged, you're depressed, I'm not making light of it. I've been through all of that, but I want you to know something else. Jesus knows what it's like to be alone. He's been in tombs. He suffered despair. I look at that, the Son of God, our Savior, our Lord, our friend, in the Garden of Gethsemane. That guy was sweating his drops of blood. Was that despair? Was that feeling pain and having occurred yet? Knowing, anticipating it? You know, that's a lot of depression is from anticipating something. Fear of something that might have happened or we're afraid is going to happen. And the enemy comes, the devil, and he uses people and things, circumstances, to try to convince us that we're not worth a flip, that we're losers. There's no hope for us. That's what he tried to do to Jesus. He doesn't know the future. If he knew the future, he wouldn't have killed him in the first place. It'd have kept him alive. He's not as smart as we give him credit for, and he's not as powerful as people think he is. And depression is not as powerful as we think it is. It can put us in the tomb, but Jesus Christ can bring us out. And he's here for you, and he wants to do that. And those things need to stay empty. The world around us right now has been trying to put us in tombs. Oh, be afraid. Panic. I'm going to get something. Well, I've got something. You know what it is? I've got Jesus Christ, who's bigger than a virus. And he's bigger than criticism. And I want you to know something else. He's bigger than depression and loneliness and despair and discouragement. Why do you think he went to the cross? You see, it was to save people. Yeah, to save us spiritually, to save our souls. But he wants to save your life. Remember what we started with? I've come to give you life and give it in abundance. He wants you to live because he's alive and he's in you. And he cares about where you are right now. He cares. Listen, he was abandoned. He was misunderstood. He was criticized. He was attacked by heartless, unfeeling people, just like you've been. He was abandoned by his best chosen friends, and he was thrown under the bus by one of his disciples. Sold out, stabbed in the back. A few pieces of silver was all he was worth. That's throwing him under the bus. So I want to say something to you as we kind of wrap this up. Come off that cross and reach out to Christ. He's reaching out to you, and let's get out of that tomb. It needs to be empty. You've been in darkness long enough. You felt like you had chains around you. By the way, take those old burial clothes you've been and lay them aside. The only thing left in the tomb was a burial shroud, some linen clothes. Yeah? Take off that old stuff that's been wrapped around you for too long and come out of this thing. He knows, he feels, he knows what you feel. He knows what it's like to be surrounded by darkness. He was there. He knows your heart. He knows your worries. He knows your hurts. He knows your pain. Jesus knows. Well, if anybody knows pain, Jesus knows pain. He knows. He's been there. He knows how to get you out. Now listen to him and take his love and take it into your heart. Take his forgiveness. He's offering it. Take his healing. And friends, take his salvation and take his friendship. You think you're alone, but you're not. He's here, and he's with you, and he's wanting to love you. He does love you. You just need to let him. So many people that's been hurt won't let the stone be rolled away and let anybody into their life. Well, Jesus needs to be in your life, and he's a master at rolling away stones. I promise you. That's what Easter is about. And that's what this message is about. Come out of your tomb, off your cross and out of your tomb. Take his friendship, take his forgiveness, take his love. Pour out your heart to him. Let him roll away the stone that's kept you in there. Whatever happened to you, Jesus Christ is right now wanting to roll it away. All you got to do is quit looking down and look up. Look out. Hold out your hands and say, Jesus, save me. Here's my depression. Here's my despair. Here's my loneliness. And here's my darkness. Here's my pain. You know what he's going to say to you? I got it. I got it. and I got you, let Jesus Christ put his arms around you and love you and forgive you. And let him right now, let him whisper into your ear and listen to him. You know what he's saying? I love you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I've come to give you life and give it in abundance.